We're getting there.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Oh, do I want to put it on a different channel?
And then describing his own name. But it was like he had this real sense of, yeah,
oh,
he's
well,
pretending to be this character with his kind of background and qualifications. Yeah, this was written.
Just the one night, though.
Oh, no, it was just
that's a digital thing.
I just did one page.
Wow.
Yeah, that was just one.
So, you had something?
Yes. It's the what appears.
Yeah.
And that which is the, let's say, holder of this appearance are actually identical, but it's very difficult to be aware of that in my experience.
Mm.
So what have you got to say on that?
That was well
so
put.
What appears,
huh?
Well,
what
that
was well put.
Oh, good.
So what appears is absolutely identical
to
that.
The all, that's what I like to use, or the fullness, that appears in the emptiness is identical. They're identical to each other, but in my experience, they are not. Sort of. I mean, they are.
Does the word identical? I mean, even that's fun to look at. Because does identical mean identical twins, two things that look alike,
one and the same,
or that's different, right?
Yeah.
One and the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
But experience. Very frustratingly.
Yes,
in
it is.
Dualistic.
Yeah.
Apparitions.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the immediate core of it. It has nothing to do with, you know, these useless notions of life is suffering and suffering is caused by desire, which is just bullshit. What you're asking, looking at, is really, you know. The secular heart of the divine.
Secular heart of the divine.
But I don't experience it. I mean, to be aware of that would be momentary, which it has to be, of course. Right.
Well, wait. Don't make a conclusion. Not about this.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Don't be the scientist that's written a paper. Yeah, because it's too strange. Why is it, or how is it, and there is really no why or how, but just for the fun of looking at, right now, right here, is the cutting edge of reality. I mean,
mm-hmm.
is it true? I mean, I don't even think truth is important. And we're using the word reality just, you know, sheepishly, foolishly, because I don't know what else to call this. Here, this is, it expresses with impunity, total confidence. It's not shy. It's not for asking anyone's opinion, right? It's not interested in being judged. This is so. How does that this is so, you could say instantly or in its nature, which is quicker than instantly, right? Of its nature, make it appear as if this is other than itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because in so-called inwardly, texturally, one's consciousness, our, it seems, default conviction is that I, or my experience, my consciousness, the intimacy of your, right, irrefutable nature is apart from. You're a creature, right, in a large, in a play field. So how is it that the miracle of consciousness, awareness, the irrefutable startle and shock that this is so, appear to splinter off from itself and create the remarkable conviction that you are an individualized, independent, separately existing, sensitive creature?
Exactly.
My thoughts exactly.
Now, this is what's fun in looking at it is we can look at it in a secular, divine manner. Because I don't have to pour in any Buddhism or Hinduism, Catholicism, the accomplishments of Jesus, any morality, right? Any behavioral accomplishments that need to be made by a person to look at the miraculous, call it Genesis, that this is so and appears to convey with tremendous success that you are that you're an individual.
Or we can look at those as attempts to answer the question. They're all attempts to answer why is this.
You mean the religious or spiritual ideation? That those are attempts?
Yeah.
Yes. Any belief system, it doesn't have to be a spiritual or religious one, is a kiosk. It's an information kiosk that is basically saying, hey, look at me. I know what this is,
yes.
Why it is,
right.
Where it is, how it is,
right.
And what's in it for you, as long as you tithe sufficiently.
In general, yeah.
Yeah? Any belief system is. It doesn't have to be a Christian one.
Right. I don't know about any, but yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know of any that aren't.
You haven't yet found one that's not that.
You're holding out for that one.
Right. Well, what we call belief is really nothing other than the same curious confidence or certainty that's conveyed by a singularity that there are individuals here having independent and individual experience as disparate or discrete creatures, right, within a volume, within an experiential volume, that there's a boundary, right, between the reality outside yourself and your container. That your consciousness at the miracle of, oh my God, this is so, is the consequence of something. Whether it's the Big Bang or the Great Turtle or God's mind, right? We take ourselves to be independently, individually, disparately, or discreetly existing within a volume, and that our consciousness or the seat of the magic of awareness is encased by, right, sheathed by what I call my body. So experiencing, the miracle of experiencing, has become fetishized as self.
Without memory, would any of this happen?
Well, you mean memory of before the childbirth or something like that? I mean,
no,
where?
No memory at all.
The stitching, the capacity to stitch.
Without memory a second ago, would any of this be happening? You know, would any of this separation happen?
But we're physical entities. In other words, there's this physicality.
No,
well,
not really.
Okay, there is this physicality.
It appears.
Well,
it appears there is this
physicality.
How
let's
far
try it
do
again.
We go?
But that's a useful question,
yeah,
for you or for any of us. And there is a subtle, profound, I would argue, serendipity.
I already have mine. Thanks.
Between insisting that we are physical entities or going into the more rubber room of, well, it kind of appears so. You see, one is like, you got this down. You know who you are, what this is, right, where it is, why it is. You're a physical entity. You know, you're rambling about. Contrasted with, well, I'm not really sure.
Well, the most you can do is say it appears so. You're right. I mean, because who we are is not something that is expressive, right? I mean, it's not something that can really, truly be communicated, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know your powers.
yours, yeah. Right. There is apparently cooperating with this bizarre, right, incongruity of experiencing is creative expression. I mean, all the lovely things you just said about what this is or what it isn't, whether we can say or not say, da-da-da-da-da, isn't that a streaming forth of creative metaphor? So everything that's felt, spoken, engaged with, successfully or otherwise, is the streaming forth of a profundity of creative metaphor. And as you suggested, not other than itself.
Which is hard for the habit of the way we think to hold on to. You know? of. The habit is...
Well, it's not necessarily hard.
A particular, and actually, to look at the whole is, like, mind-blowing, so...
It's not hard, it's lethal.
Okay, there you go.
No, it's absolutely lethal.
Yeah.
You know, you stare into the eyes of Ramana Maharshi, and, you know, if you're not scared, you're not paying attention. It's not just, you know, a loving gaze that ameliorates and assuages all, you know, human befuddlement. No, it's lethal. And such is the nature of this, call it, present moment, which has no duration or durability. No, about which nothing really meaningful could be spoken except, holy shit!
You know, it almost seems... it almost seems unnatural. Like, what we do is unnatural.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because the natural thing is to go with the flow and just assume... And, you know, we... Again,
well, hang on. Go with the flow, again, is you doing something about or with the miracle of experiencing. As if there's an agent that would be wise to go with the flow instead of create, you know, a castle, right? A moat around a castle of self. Go with the flow is also absurd.
Well, I mean, go with the flow is a little ambiguous.
Would you say that it's actually impossible not to?
Well, who has successfully raised arms against this? Show me the great leader that's incarcerated reality, right? I mean, you can put a chain and a collar around a dragon. That you can do. At great risk. But you cannot put a chain and a collar around this.
No. I tried this morning and it just failed as usual. Badly.
So go with the flow might be more accurately expressed as flow on, motherfucker. There's no go with. When could you possibly put the brakes on the rubbery nature of your experiencing and say, stop right there. You stop. Just stop. Let me think about this. Stop right there. Stop being an incredible, expressive, mutagenic weirdness that I have no control over.
Yeah.
You stop. I need to make a decision.
Well, it seems quite easy to engage in the delusion that we project.
That's the question that Pat asked, right?
Yeah.
It seems quite easy to engage in the delusion of being an agent with decision-making powers.
I mean, it actually seems more natural.
That can successfully ask reality to please stop until I've made up my mind. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So
you can disengage with it.
So now you're looking at a different angle on what's expressed as, you know, samsaric proclivity. In other words, the nature of suffering, of separation, of apprehension. Of acute psychic irritability, of isolation, right? If we're looking to heal the imagination of our so-called human condition, how far are we willing to go? How deep into the psychic hallucination are we willing to go to unwind from the otherwise transcendent mystery of being a person in a body? Born some 14 billion years after the imaginary Big Bang.
But identically, how far are we willing
on
to
Earth.
Go becomes one and the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all one and the same. Like you said, as you start peering into it, and the reflex of creating separation through language and presumption and pride, as that melts away, the reflex of insisting on separation melts away, then the revelation that this is itself without an other starts to seep in. It can seep in as an agreement, as an aha, as something that knocks you out for a week, so you're under the covers, right? And we might
find... randomly.
It can seep in any way. I mean, while trying to cut a naan with a butter knife.
For no reason.
You know, any moment. Any moment it can seep in because it's all that is so. Right? Reality is not acquisitive, is it? That would be useless. Reality is so. Our way of playing is to discover, right? Is to discover its nature. Not to acquire. Not to rid ourselves of anything or to get a thing.
Do you want to share that one too?
Because if you're ridding yourself of something, well, you're already too late. Because you're already incarcerated, imaginarily incarcerated as an entity with various afflictions, behaviors, proclivities, sadnesses, you know, irritabilities, etc., etc. And they can be intense, especially if you're a PTSD adult that grew up in an abusive family situation. Right? It can be very intense feeling ourselves as a poorly handled human.
Oh. Poorly handled human.
Yeah.
What is your problem?
I'm a poorly handled human. Well, welcome to the club.
I never related to humanhood. I think I'm still a chimp. Oh, I'm sure it's fine. Thanks. Good enough for poorly handled.
Have you noticed?
So the quality of the so-called individual, so-called experience,
right,
is actually irrelevant to the singularity.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
We can run around saying, I did this, and
yeah,
and whatever.
Yes.
But that's an assertion as well.
I don't know.
That might actually... We have this, and we don't know why. Nobody really got it.
Right.
There's people who have pretended to know why.
Yeah.
Tried to tell us why. And it's
yeah.
Through and
some of them have been burned at the stake. Some of them become Pope. Yeah. Right.
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 But I don't see how that means...
anything at all.
That there's one unifying thing and that we are not separate.
Oh.
We don't know.
I'm with you. No, it doesn't. That doesn't mean anything. That's why it's very strange to begin to articulate the possibility of let's just call it a revelation of how this is appearing to you in your experience, because you really have no proof that you could offer anyone about what you see and know is so. I mean, what do you...
Unfortunately, other people know things are so that we would say are not. So...
Well, they don't know. They say they know.
They think they know. In the same way that we think we know, though.
That's what my point is.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. You're absolutely...
We don't
know
that either.
And yeah.
So the closest we can come to experiencing this is, I think, by going with what you say is an illusion of separateness, of suffering, of happiness, of gravity, of electricity, of love.
We're not likely to escape it. There's no cave that you can go to where you could avoid all these things.
Right, but part of that appearance...
Yeah.
Part of how we experience it
yeah.
is as individual self. And you're saying, no, that's not true. I don't know how you could say that with any sense.
No, I don't know if I said that. I might have, but I lied.
All the time.
Yeah.
But they're one and the same.
We're looking at a curiousness which we both appreciate and respect. Neither one of us can say anything about, which is true, to the exclusion of something else.
Except how it appears to us. That's the one thing maybe we could say.
How this appears to you, how you're experiencing this miracle, what curiosity, what despair, what urgency, what sanguinity you bring to it is custom made.
And even beyond that, our expression of it is totally inaccurate.
But we don't know that it's inaccurate.
Well, there's no question of accuracy.
When I express
there is
something,
no accurate.
There's no accurate.
I'm trying to express something that, as it appears to me, but I do a lousy job of it.
No, but that's accurate for you.
No,
that works. You're perfectly you.
I say it the best way I can, and I oftentimes feel that, well...
The words fall short.
Yeah.
You can't put words to it.
I mean, as soon as it goes into that part of the brain, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, next time.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Good luck. We'll get him next time.
Get a job at the docks, and we'll see you next lifetime. When we play around with the notion of whatever this is or isn't, appearing as an, call it unbroken, unhindered, non-separative singularity. That says a lot, but really nothing at all. If one, as if there were one, or not one, I don't know, yeah, I mean, it's always very curious how to play around to express that this is so without an other. Because it really is the collapse of what's referred to as duality or separation or the insistence on being of the nature of a separately existing consciousness as a creature. The collapse of what we'll call the metaphoric remnant of duality. It's just too weird for words. And yet here it is. It's expressing itself unabashedly. It's not shy.
It's the whole darkness and light thing. You don't know... It's hard to know light without darkness. Because, right? Because it would,
yeah.
that is all it would be, and it would be hard to describe unless you had the opposite.
That's right. If one... is invited to see that your present experience is not divisible. Where do you go? Who do you attempt to convince about your new religion? Right? Because all that's expressing and appearing is miraculously, radiantly appearing. It's not obeying any rules, certainly not the ones the physicists would suggest. It's not obeying you. It never has.
But see, I think it does obey what the physicists are saying so far, and they're constantly discovering things as to how it works. It doesn't come... Nobody knows why it's like that and why...
They don't know how, either.
I think so. Sure.
Hey... You're that's fantastic. I'm glad for your confidence.
Why don't they? Well, it's not my confidence, like you said before. That's my belief. That's my perception. That's how I see it.
All right. Yeah. Far be it for me to suggest otherwise.
But you are suggesting otherwise. You're saying that the laws of physics.
Well, I'm suggesting it otherwise to the people at the table that find that curious. You might not. And I'm not isolating anybody, but yeah. I am suggesting that the physicists don't know why or how.
Why or how?
They don't know anything. But they, like any of us, can construct a miraculous, stitched together, cogent experience in an instant, made out of nothing, that has absolutely no duration. So we do it within the context of our lives and our decisions. And our joys and accomplishments and trials and tribulations. You could say the physicist is doing the same kind of imaginary nonsense in the field of mathematics or very, very expensive atom-smashing experimentation.
And I thought that...
You think this is something and that they know what it is?
No.
Oh,
I'm saying they're explaining how this duality... thing, how it functions more and more, not completely, unless they start to say in the why, and it started with the Big Bang, and that's just as ridiculous as
right.
Jesus or Buddhism or anything else.
Sure,
it starts to explain it in that sense.
Right,
but I mean, I think that it's not a fantasy. It's not an imagination that gravity. Is what makes this thing go down, and
But no one knows what gravity is, so why blame it for anything?
They don't. They don't know why, but sure they know what gravity is.
No. It's, no, they don't know they what know
how,
it is.
They know how to describe it, for sure.
Yeah, I think they're not explaining, they're different. Describing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, again, they're describing according to a made-up framework.
Making,
well, I
making
can describe
up
this experience.
Making
you know,
up a superstructure.
But what does that do?
Making up a superstructure of reliable consequence in a mutagenic dream amounts to what?
But saying that it's a mutagenic dream is itself a belief.
Okay. Not for me, but for you, I get it.
Well, I also thought that with the quantum theory that everything was just thrown out the window.
The physicists are always throwing everything out the window.
Why is
it so?
Yeah, I know, and then they start over. Because now they're like, oh, we found opposite evidence, right? And now they're like, to prove that this is actually matter. You're like, oh, come on.
Well, what,
you gotta be fucking kidding.
What is, I think that's what's more immediately interesting is that if we are this totality, our personal experience is our totality of what this is. Okay, we've chosen to, you know, within our experience, spiritual beings who kind of trying to describe this to us appear. And that's really kind of amazing.
The comic book of my journey, yeah.
Yeah, the comic book of our journey.
All
I'm
kinds of superheroes
somehow
show
projecting
up, yeah.
People explaining to me what this actually is.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
You're wrong, no, it isn't. No. But it's a miracle, because we know other people are not experiencing that.
Yeah.
Those people explaining it to them.
Yes.
And that's kind of what I'm sensing is that there's just no separation. Because there was a time that I believed otherwise.
Sure.
God, yeah.
The good old days.
Oh, yesterday.
Yeah, and that's just part of the whole...
Yeah, it's part of
whatever.
The
mm-hmm.
And it fits perfectly.
Yeah, it has to.
No seams.
Right, no seams. Yeah. That's very strange. Yeah, like a physicist or anyone that, you know, is on the lookout for explanation or the thrill of discovery, right, and causal relationship within the body of phenomenality is creating seams. Because this over here could be held responsible for this over here, and this over here is now responsible for this over here. And so the materialist view, the particularization of finding building blocks and the relations between the building blocks, makes it appear as if we know how this works. But if you look at any of the imaginary building blocks that apparently have some causal, right, history, if not histrionics, that something else occurred because of it, if you go into any one of the suppositions or building blocks, you will find, like the Buddha said, total emptiness. So nothing could be actually responsible for the causal consequence of anything else, because this is not particularizable as a quark, a subquark, a photon, a Higgs boson, being other than what this is as an entirety, as a seamless expressive entirety.
And since we like to use the word inexpressible...
Let's keep talking about it.
Then
expressing.
All those things, all those expressions are going to fall short, and we only know that we don't know in the end.
And the physicists, not all, but many, are saying that.
Oh, and that they are.
We are, yeah. We are right on the verge here, probably have been so for 50 years, but no one wanted to say anything publicly for fear of being losing their job. But the physicists that are looking into, let's call it, you know, causal minutia, they don't find anything. Not the cause, not the building block, not the genesis, not time, not space,
not the minutia,
not consequence. Zippity-doo-dah.
Well,
zippity-fucking-doo-dah. And so those men and women that are looking mathematically, you know, or in other ways, perhaps even on the cushion, are saying, whoa. And so the revelation that some may be having is, Thank you, sir. That this is actually beyond, totally beyond, as in doubly, trebly beyond any kind of causal chain or explanation. It's dreaming itself, in itself, never leaving itself, and expressing that quickly, if not faster than that, as incredible, phenomenal expression. And refreshing itself instant by instant, leaving no trace of itself, let's say, within the imaginary volume of what we would call the known universe, whether microcosmically or macrocosmically. That's the level of the refresh. Nothing, there's no durability in this moment or in the, call it, the physical or microscopic constituents that it makes reality appear as reality. There's no durability in the electron, the proton, the neutron, or the more refined, observable, theoretically or otherwise, particulate urgencies that have seemed to create that this is so. Nothing can be found. So no one could possibly say how or why or anything except within a dream, except within the context of a kiosk of belief.
Which is going to fit seamlessly into...
Yeah.
In the end, it's still a seamless fit.
It's still a seamless fit. It doesn't... That all is so...
But we experience it as... Or I experienced learning as enjoyable. And it doesn't actually have to have a meaning.
We're
all loitering.
I just finished. She said, well, the only conclusion you can really come to is this is what the inside of nothing looks like.
Where did you see this in
your reading? Trespassing on Einstein's Law. I just thought it was a good line. This is what the inside of nothing looks like.
Yeah. It leaves me with the feeling, though, that what's the point of saving the planet? What's the point?
Yes.
Nothing. Yes. There isn't.
Are you okay with that?
No.
Oh. Just checking. Just checking.
I'm not there
yet. You're freaked out. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have grandchildren.
That's right.
They're going to be living.
I hear you.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but
That's why this
it makes a sense of apathy within me.
It seems like more a sense of fear before apathy. A sense of rejection or shock before apathy.
No, not fear.
Grief?
I mean, when you say something like that, what comes up is, well, then what's the point? Which leads to apathy is what I'm feeling.
But there doesn't have to be to get to the place of... Well, that's okay. That works for me.
When has the feeling not come up? I started feeling that like the age of 5. What's the point? You know, it's like we're never without that feeling.
Well, that leads to the existential despair.
The answer to, well, what's the point as we go?
And to figure, and then I always thought, okay, there's something wrong with me that I don't see the point.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a blessing because I'll find it.
There's no point.
I don't have to, and I can make up one if I want to.
Yeah.
And today
but
I don't feel like
was,
it.
Somebody knows the point, and I don't, and I have to find it.
Yes.
I think that the apathy is a very rich atmosphere of investigation. Because I would say the apathy is not original. The apathy is a consequence. It's downstream. My sense is that there's something, let's say, more profound, more cogent to the miracle of you, which as we speak this way, is, you know, leaning into itself, right? And it's not quite sure where to go consequentially with a certain kind of, well, that might even be so.
Right.
And so apathy then is not original, meaning it's reactive.
Right.
What is it reactive to? There's something, call it, give me a moment, prior to or more authentic to your experience. So that apathy is a reaction to it. Like we often say, right, anger is a reaction to, right, fear. Right? To be angry, to react suchly is because I am somehow threatened. My person, my reputation, my closet, my money, right? My ideas, my beliefs, I'm somehow threatened. And by being threatened, there's a kind of vulnerability that I don't like. I mean, it's a vulnerability of the risk of continuity, the risk of getting what I want and need. And so anger protects me, right? Puts out a beacon, says, oh, come any closer, you're going to lose your fingers. I would say apathy is similar. It's a reaction. My question is what to? And I'm not saying you, any of us have to, you know, jump in and say, oh, I know. Just
well,
feel
can it come spontaneously with you, where it's like, you know, I mean, you get a new framework shows up in some way, and apathy and fear and all that can just be like kind of piled into it in some bizarre
What we're playing with, you know, whether it's physics or religion or just the way we're playing with the nature of belief and playing with the nature of this present expressiveness, is it does suggest that a sense of self, of durable self, has just become an antique. For some, that could be kind of thrilling. For others, and this is all temporary because our relationship to these conversations shifts very, very quickly. It does. So, but one day on a Sunday, da-da-da-da-da, playing around with this, whoa, I see that not just my reality, but even the reality of my children or my grandchildren or this marvelous water jewel in the middle of nowhere, right, could be at risk. That the continuity of the bliss of expression could possibly be at risk. And we love this. We may be even having a shitty life and disappointed by 1,000 people, but we really still love this. And so one way that we might respond to a crazy conversation like the ones we have, there could be some grief, some heartbreak. Like, oh my God. Because the citadel of self, the imaginary continuity of self, is built on, you know, such stilts that if they're taken out, we are understandably, organically, likely to go through a gamut of profound emotive response to the shifting of the sands from the insistence that this is real, I'm real, and I know what this is, to I'm not really sure. And so apathy can show up amongst a whole bunch of emotive, delicious sparkles. Because I'm not really sure what to do with the shock of your own revelation. Because what I'm saying is bullshit, nonstop. But if something occurs in you, which is true, true meaning that it's yours, that you have no argument with it, that it's, you could say it's touched you deeply, then apathy, of course, is an understandable, well, I'm not so sure. But what if I stop fighting for good health and good food and good atmosphere or political righteousness or social justice? And what kind of world might my children or grandchildren inherit if this actually is not built on anything? So yeah, all of those deep sentimentalities, they're revisited. And we don't yet know how to rest in this or respond to this from the kind of curious, you know, suggestion that Pat is making, that it really is an indivisible singularity where there is no free will or even decision-making prowess that any so-called bioluminescent creature can possess. It's doing itself in an entirety of miraculous and miraculous expression, loaded with incredible affinity and incredible genocide.
And lots of thoughts of individuality.
Yes, and punctuated by what we're referring to as the conviction of self. And once we start unloading from the hysteria of self, and universe as consequence of Big Bang, made out of material shit that stays still. We don't know where that's going to go. Because you're a miraculous, creative, multivalent, hyper-intelligent, adaptive wonder field. And as a wonder field which has no boundary, having been under the influence, let's say, of a very narrow frame of reference, then we've all created complex compensations socially, interpersonally, to try to, figure out how to live within such a narrow bandwidth. And having a conversation like this one might start to stretch the perimeters of who and what you are or what this is. So all of the humanocentric sentimentalities that may have appeared to glue us together are just...
But that's my thoughts. That's how it's landing for whatever this is.
Yeah, really.
But if this thinks that it is absolutely essential that the Earth survives,
mm-hmm.
that is just as valid.
Yeah, we're not talking about because validity.
Because it is the reality. It's the expression, it's still the expression, right, of...
Well, right or wrong is...
appreciating
as you do that everything that is showing up in this is fair game. All is fair in love, war, and apparently reality.
Yeah.
So that's a given. Okay. So we're not trying to create a pedestal over here, which is better than the pedestal over there. What would be the point? I mean, this is a mutagenic wonder field of absolute bliss. Why take a position? So if save the world feels like the thing to do on Sunday, well, get busy. God damn it, save it.
Yeah.
But someone else might be sitting at breakfast going, what world? Right? Carrie, what are you serving? Right? And so they can live together in a friendly manner.
Yeah, it's our intrinsic natures, I guess, individually, as to what comes up.
Yes.
What inspires.
Yes. What we're interested in handling, coping with, imagining, and discovering, unpredictably how we are relating to an exploration. Because I don't know. Does anyone actually have a premeditated position?
No,
you're responding to whatever's going on in situ, spontaneously, with no premeditation.
It's like a constant experiment from scratch, though.
From scratch. Right. Your present experience just occurred, just left, as a simultaneity, from scratch. And we call it Terry... You know what I mean? How is that possible? Right. So if there's a world, well, you'd better save it. And if it's coming unglued at the seams from a socio-economic, socio-political, geopolitical point of view, in terms of threat to species, well, move to Vermont with your grandkids and get a water turbine and see if you can hang out a little longer than the rest of us poor schmucks that live near the city. Yeah.
Composting toilet.
Or get a rowboat.
I've been with you.
Get a rowboat, get your ass down to Antarctica and hold those glaciers up so they won't fall, they won't keep calving.
That I'm not doing, it's cold. No.
Yeah, get down there with a bullhorn and say, hey, you glaciers, that's enough of that, because Florida is about to go underwater. Good luck.
So that is an equal expression of what can't be expressed.
Okay. Yeah. Put that on your refrigerator for a couple of minutes and then tear it down because it's useless. Yeah.
Unless I like it. In which case it stayed up
then
there.
Then it stays. Yeah, then it stays.
And I'm going to make it pretty and get it professionally painted.
Embroider it.
And why not?
Yeah, then next week give it away. But whatever that was then, boy, that's just useless.
Perhaps.
See, that's
see, the thing is, though, I mean, you know, we're back to duality by saying that we can't express it. Why can't we express it?
Well, here it is.
We're wonder, what? Wonder Bus.
What do you mean you can't express it?
Wonder Bus.
Oh, what did you say? Express it.
Yeah, here it is.
Out loud.
Yeah. No. You
can't be expressed.
You can't do anything but express it.
Right.
Okay. I mean, the accuracy may go from 0 to 100%, you know. I mean, it's
so
usually in the middle.
We can look at a you know, texture as a useful word. You know, borrowed or stolen from Peter. In my really early conversations with him, we're playing around with this from a kind of a Don Juanish, Carlos Castaneda shamanic, right, meme or metaphor. Like, whoa. I mean, the Tibetans use the term rainbow body, right? And in Don Juan's, you know, world, made up or otherwise, it was luminous egg, right? So no matter what culture you go to, you're going to find references in the Hindu culture. If you look at Yoga Kundalini, right, insight, you're seeing seven chakras, an Ida and a Pingala around a Sushumna, and Ojas or Kundalini rising from the core, which is Kundalini itself, or Ojas, is actually transmuted seminal fluid in the man and the woman, right? Seminal energy, reproductive energy, maturing. That's why the yogis go brahmacharya. They withhold from sexual activity so that all of the profound juices that are already present have a chance to mutate into a more refined vibratory fluid in this and rise up the channels to the crown, voila, you know?
Is that why I'm doing it?
Yeah, yeah. Is that why I'm not having getting laid? I didn't really, now I'm committed to it. Before I thought it was a problem. Yeah. No.
Anyway,
Jesus, I'm not getting laid. Really. Don't ask me why I said any of that, but we're looking at texture, meaning what is the nature of your present luminous experience? Not the storyline, not that there's an earth that needs to be protected, not the apathy or the grief or the resistance, not the belief, not the how, the why, the where, the when, the what of this miracle. But here it is. Here's the miracle. Fair enough. Good way to start any conversation. Hi, how you doing? Hey, here's a miracle. Let's play with it. What's happening right now? What is this before we convert it into a set of beliefs or a story? What's the texture of your present experience, right? Not your ideas, but the feeling of it. Not the sentiment, but the feeling.
Not the thought.
That there's sound, light, color, vibration. This. And dreaming. Here's the dreaming. What stays still? Nothing. What's static? Nothing. What's it made of? Nothing. Where did it come from? Nowhere. Where is it going? Same. Here's the miracle. This miracle happens to be awake, as in totally enlightened. Not from the vantage point of an imaginary individual, but here's your awakeness, isn't it? This is awake. That's as good a metaphor as to say that it's such, it's so, it is. There's a miracle of wakefulness. This is not void. It's not nothing.
So, not to be like a pain in the ass, but
too late. That never stopped you. Are you turning over a new leaf?
What do you mean you're awakening?
Pat wants to make an announcement. She's no longer going to be a pain in the ass. Yeah, we believe you.
Okay, so it's landing in me as here's your awakening. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, awakening is already, it's already too
trivial.
But
the your is where I'm...
Yeah, that's the problem.
No,
see, your your awakening is back to the imagination that this could be other than itself.
So it's not awakening.
No, no, no. It's silly to call it awakening. That's how books are sold, but we don't really have to use the same metaphor.
But there's no you are to be awakened.
That's why I say it's awake, okay. Not an individual, not an individual awakened or awakening.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm stuck on doing.
Okay. All right, cool.
I mean, I know that of myself because I had a day yesterday where I didn't have a lot to do.
Uh-oh.
And I was like,
Oh my God.
I have to do something. You know, it's like,
yeah.
What do I do?
Well, that's why we have spontaneous barbecues and fires, because we don't know what to do with ourselves, so we just gather tribally around a fire and loiter.
Yeah, if you're ever in doubt, just go hang out and go to the yogurt shop and do nothing.
Huh? Yeah.
Frequently.
Yeah. So where'd you go with it? What was your intimate encounter without having much to do?
I finally got in touch with my daughter, and you know, but I could see that there was like, I see things as lessons, and I know it probably isn't, but it's like, okay,
no, fair
here
enough.
you are, and why are you uncomfortable with not doing?
What a nice question, yes, yeah. Lovely.
I get that on Saturdays specifically sometimes, if there's no work to go to, and I don't have kids and whatever, mm-hmm. Previous, I'll be like, then a couple hours into it, I call it Nancy.
Yeah.
All right, get Nancy now.
Yeah.
There's this, calling a miracle out there. I have to do something. Oh, I'm going to miss it. That's going to pass me by, you know.
I know, I was going outside because the weather is nice, and then, okay.
But I get that on Saturdays more than any other day.
The threat of the decision-making process, am I making the right decision? That's what sort of pervades, and then it's like,
well, this is clearly very
just
pushy.
What do you want me to do?
Right?
What is
pushy? The texture of the miracle of experience is pushy. It's not inert. It's remarkably dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beyond imagination dynamic. No words for dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it you could say that... Wow.
Whatever it is, we're going to find some little bit.
One's awareness is capable of vistas unspeakable. Now, we might look at a vista as being at a lovely bluff, right? Overlooking a miraculous expression of Earth's beauty. Ocean, sunset, face of a child. These are vistas. And then these vistas, which do stop us and provide us with profound and profound spiritual succor, are, though they are externalized, what occurs here is stupefyingly delicious.
Yes.
Right? Where's the beauty? Is it out there? Or does it land here?
Cool.
Right? We could say, oh my God, that's beautiful. What you're really saying is, beauty is alive in me. Let's take this same miraculous capacity for perceptibility, which, you know, from a human point of view is commonly extroverted. I'm always looking out into the material world for signs of beauty, or if I don't find a sign of beauty, what I feel I need to do about it to make it beautiful. as in, how should my partner change to be more beautiful to me?
To make my experience beautiful.
Right. Now, so we can feel then, oh my goodness, sure. If an acorn, a sunset. Now I'm suggesting take this same miraculous sensitivity for beauty and see how you feel it right here, profoundly, intimately, in the subjective mystery of your own dreaming. Stop looking in an extroverted manner outside yourself.
And And that was church for the day.
Amen. Let's have an amen.
As we play around with this texture of reveling in beauty as the profundity of subjective experience, not extrovert, not having to be particularized, you can start to begin to see how dynamic, how profound, how playful, how self-fulfilling, how unencumbered and unbounded the heart of your subjective profundity is. As we venture into this territory and hang out more voluntarily, more willingly, then a lot of this steam or smoke of restlessness will start to mutate, will start to shift. Because if I have a day where I don't have a plan, an appointment, something to fix, something to beautify, right? Because I'm kind of reflexively on the lookout for external possibilities to bring beauty home, and not feeling the beauty, I become restless. So I'm going to reach out, a phone call, a barbecue, a thing to do. So I can get,
save you.
So I can have my share of beauty today. So it might be fun to play around with from time to time. We don't have to isolate ourselves right in a cave or a cushion or not pick up the phone.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I enjoy that, but...
because my phone's broken and I'm all alone. Play around with enjoying yourself by discovering beauty in presence. Of the impunity of your own subjective nature, the miracle of you.
But you can't. That's like having an agenda, right? Doesn't it fall apart? If you're going to play around with...
Let's not be so hypothetical for a moment. Just do it.
Just do it.
It just happens.
Yes, that's part of the discovery.
I think the feeling part of it is a big thing, too. So much time is spent in our heads.
Yes.
That we don't feel.
Yes.
And, you know, what I've picked up from you more and more as I listen to you is the feeling part of it. And I'm like, are you feeling right now?
Yes.
You know, and it's just the awareness of feeling.
Awareness is a contact sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
We think awareness somehow is, you know, airy-fairy or energy. Bullshit. Awareness is a contact sport.
With these incredible receptors, these bodies that are pulling it all in.
Well, it's, yes, but it's trans-body. You can also, as you, let's say, sink into the palpability of your awareness, ask yourself, is this awareness, is this miraculous refuge, sanctuary of me, the consequence or product of my body? Or is my body appearing in this awareness? Agreed wholeheartedly that the sensitivity of this is off the charts. It's not measurable. I mean, even of the science world that look at the sensitivity of a fingertip, for pressure and temperature and texture is actually so incredible that the thinking mind, the representative metaphoric mind, can't keep up with this. The data is too holographic, too rich, too depthful for thought as a representative process to keep up with. So is the nature of your subjective unencumbered miracle. It's too incredible. It's too beyond to keep up with it from the vantage point of explanation or justification. That's what we're playing around with.
Yeah,
we may use tools of conversation and a good meal and a nice cup of coffee as pull strings or levers to get into the profundity of your subjective, unencumbered nature. To feel it. To see yourself mutating at present.
Do you find that there are tools? I mean, in the past, I mean, and this is part of where I come from too, is meditation,
mm-hmm.
yoga,
mm-hmm.
like you're talking about Kundalini rising, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Right.
Possibly staying away from caffeine.
Possibly staying away, yeah.
While I sip my cappuccino.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there, I don't know, seeing things like coincidences starting to happen where
yeah.
I go, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
You feel more in tune, or you feel more closer to, what am I trying to say? You just feel more in tune with what's going on, or...
You're having a better beauty fix.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So, I go back to that going, you're feeling out of sync.
Mm.
Why am I restless? Or why, you know... What can I do to
right.
sync up, you know?
Right.
I mean, don't you feel like there are times where you're like, man, I feel like I'm in sync with what's going on here. I don't know. That's,
yeah.
I have that.
It's the expression.
All the time.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's, I say, I must be in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because
it's not happening.
Because of an internal irritation.
Right.
But I don't.
I think we need to honor that this stuff too. I mean, that might be the wrong word.
All I know
but
is I feel
it's all
that.
Part of the
that's
experience,
all I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Acknowledge it, yeah.
As we mature from infancy to childhood and adolescence and adulthood, and then our adulthood becomes punctuated or influenced by more refinement in the field. Yoga, meditation, diet, what you do and don't do, quality of relationships, where you decide to hang out, right, are all expressions, organic expressions of refinement in the field. Things may serve you at a certain stage of discovering the beauty of your refinement. Then you may outgrow them. Because it's not the yoga where the beauty is. It's here where the beauty is. So I might not be so inclined to pretzel up and... because...
pretzel up and breathe like a dog.
Because I can, like... lift a cup of pretty empty Java. Right. Holy shit. Right? So if you're feeling out of sorts, noticing that you're feeling out of sorts, and that spontaneously arises the interest or the memory or the possibility to respond to out of sorts by doing a thing, thinking a thing, comforting oneself, whatever it is, follow your bliss.
I see it. To see it is
yes.
To
right. To see is synonymous. To see is synonymous with the collapse of time and the collapse of space and the collapse of individuation. Seeing is awake.
And then those things become.
Whatever they
just
become.
Another expression.
Whatever they become, yeah.
Of what it gets expressed.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's say identity, the locus of self, right? The locus of self for most of our lives is pretty much here. As we refine, well, that locus gets bigger and stranger, more puffy and rubbery, and starts to include, if not embrace, present realms of subtlety that have nothing at all to do with the material world. Not with the earth, not with the solar system, not with the Milky Way, not with the local cluster.
Or clusterfuck.
Or the larger clusterfuck. You see, the you could say beauty of one's subjective nature becoming absolutely unencumbered by the imagination of any boundary condition is off-planet. Well, it's off-universe. It's absolutely transhuman. And here it is. You could say you're made of it, or you're of its nature. That the playful blasphemy that this appears to be other than itself, in which all human travail and drama, right, ensues, is really no problem to you, because you're the unencumbered transcendent, not born, not subject to death, mutating wildly from moment to moment, delighted with the view, without any interest that it even need to continue.
Who to be there?
Well, this is the prescient fact. Our game plan, which is the luscious, if not maddeningly weird, journey of refinement, is to discover this with more confidence, more ease, more trust, more joy. Not that I'm placing any yahoos on any of those things.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt for a second? Yeah. Does anyone own a white car? There's a little puppy in there that looks kind of odd and painting. Is that someone
here? No. He was 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you got your little puppy.
I saw him there.
This is what Dave hated going through, leaving his dog in the car. He's always complaining because people do this shit.
He needs a dog hat. A dog in the hat.
My hell, she was like nervous, like shaking. It's like funny.
Well,
it's
hard to walk up to a group, especially an engaged group like
this. No, it's, I know, but people also like...
Are any of you fuckers dog abusers at this table?
You really?
That's what she meant to say.
Just children.
Upset about the dog.
Many of you sons of a bitches leave a dog in a hot fucking car.
Sons of a bitches, dog abandoners. Because I'm going to give you the chance to take care of your animal before I call the police.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Perhaps he'll come back and say we're leaving.
But we don't know why it is that we get together to have these conversations, or what anyone gets out of it. And try explaining it to a friend that might be curious. It's like, I mean, puppy, my puppy. What the fuck are you going to say? Well, it's like bliss, man. It's like, you know.
Well, they won't ask you again.
No, you'll lose. Don't say a word. You'll lose all your friends.
Yeah. Well, too late.
Yeah,
once again.
Too late. That's right.
Once again, too late.
No, I actually did talk to some friends, and I was quite amazed that they were responding in kind.
Oh.
They were like,
exactly. That's great. Some friends start to be concerned about you.
Yeah,
then they pray for you, and then they, you know, call someone that you know to make sure that
sage
you're
you.
On your meds.
Yeah, sage you with a big feather.
Yeah, let's sage you.
Some are just already
exorcism. I think it's very freeing for people, especially that don't have a prescription for what should be.
Right.
You know, especially people that have been raised in religious homes and have completely gone against it, or
when you're looking at transhuman Gnostic view of the present nature of experience, what percentage of the 7-point-something billion would go, oh yeah, I'm down with that? The what? The Gnostic transhuman view of miraculous subjectivity. Hey, man. You okay?
Speak in English, man.
So we have a vocabulary primarily which is textural as we do this in each other's esteemed company. we are actually resonating in a text with a textural vocabulary which is non-spoken. We're playing around with the spoken vocabulary because what do dolphins do? You know, like what they do, what they do. They communicate, right? They communicate holographically.
Just adopt it again, please, please.
Yeah, they
communicate. Do it again.
Yeah, they communicate holographically, right? With sonar and crickling, crackling, weird noises.
Boy, the dog in here.
But if you're in, the water with them,
adorable, so we'll get away with
if you have the privilege of being in the water with dolphins,
like it's not happening.
What might sound like gibberish from a human point of view, at least in my weird experience, it's like, wow, they're communicating holographically. Each clickle, clackle, and wackle-wackle-wackle-wackle that's going on is a profundity of communication. It just happens to be very condensed. So we can't pick it up through the, or filter it through human language. But they know the texture of their reciprocity in communication.
And birds. Have you ever seen birds? It's just crazy.
What is that, mine? Hey, hey, Benny made a sharp left. Oh! You know what, right?
It's this way.
Sheila, this way. Benny just made a sharp left. Whoa! Late again.
It's instantaneous.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, go figure. But you look at quantum entanglement, which in physics is
that
the,
what happens when I look at a puppy?
Yes. Yeah, you've been mesmerized.
Puppies are magic.
Oh, puppy.
Quantum entanglement is the suggestion that two electrons, or call it forces of consciousness, subtle forces of consciousness, once getting to know each other, can be on opposite sides of the universe and communicate in simultaneity.
Isn't that the 100th monkey theory?
That's another one of those.
Yeah.
Yes, but so the morphogenic field is obviously not being processed through, hey, Benny, which way did we go? Hey, which way did we go? Like, go from Alan, 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 Alan. I don't know if you've seen that one. That's one of my faves. Yeah. Alan, Alan, Alan. Yeah. So we're, as humans, we're, strangely complex and erratic in terms of, behavior and language. And it makes it appear as if we're not even capable of translucent, spontaneous communion. But we happen to be quite capable of translucent, spontaneous communion. But it's not so easy to feel that through language, being lectured at, or being told you're a sinner and you'd better buck up. That doesn't really lend itself so well to, the big kumbaya.
The blessing out.
Yeah. So for whatever strange, reason, we hang out together to play with the nonverbal communion of a textural depth of experience, which is quite palpable and quite profound.
It's almost like an acquired taste.
Oh, yes.
And you do become more and more aware of it just by practicing it.
Yes.
Because it's going on continually, and yet you may not be aware.
How
and
this...
then at some point, you start to think...
How this manages to fool itself into being other than itself is too weird for words. The power of particularization, of the creation of boundary conditions, of agency, of time, of space, of consequence, of karma, of genesis moments like the Big Bang, are total hallucination.
Quantum entanglement.
Yeah, sometimes the best communication is without words.
Maybe that's why we like puppies. Look at this.
when you encounter someone, you know, in a room or something, you are overwhelmed instantaneously with profound sensitivity, what we were referring to before, in terms of the field, reading the field.
Yeah.
It's unchartable.
Yeah.
Each moment, even on a Saturday when I don't have things to do, right? One is in an explosion of data-rich beatitude. And still, a social restlessness can occur, where I somehow feel either unworthy or unsated or not practical. I'm not making my fair share of contribution, right, to the gift of being. And actually taking the day off just doesn't seem natural.
I should be volunteering, goddammit.
Yeah, goddammit.
So much guilt associated right. with that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But even just taking in another person could be so overwhelming that you, like, you look in their eyes and you're like, I think I'll just look down and, like, say something. Because it's, like, so intense. You're like,
automatically try and separate ourselves. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's overwhelming.
We are all spontaneously in love with and friends for life anyone we meet. It's that powerful. This is that powerful. In love with and friends for life. When it's field to field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which can happen briefly sometimes. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nonstop.
Yeah, right.
If we were to become that sensitive to it, mm-hmm. we would be passing out like fainting goats.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, so you're just like, look down and say something, because I don't know. What else? Hi.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
That's probably why we so quickly categorize them. Someone I would be interested in, someone who would talk to me, someone who wouldn't, you know.
We should pay you so you can get underway. Is that the idea?
See, you're close enough.
Just lock it off. You guys stay here.
Well, yeah, I'm done with my water and stuff if you want to take this.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were.
Yeah. If you want to clean up everything, go ahead.
Is it late? Here, take this.
No.
What time is it? Is it? What time is it? No, is it?
That's for you.
Thank you.
I don't know how much.
I don't know either. That's
it. Yeah, okay. We'll meet at the...
This is like a thing. I'm just going to do what everyone else is doing and leave 20. That's how that works.
You'll be very grateful.
That's how chimpanzees operate.
So it's going to be sitting here.
Hey,
with
everyone
nobody.
Else is leaving 20 bucks. That looks like a good idea.
He'll stay.
Should do it, right?
Can't say
I do, just as a courtesy for the privilege of being here and being treated so kindly.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you throw a puppy in there, you gotta add a couple extra dollars for that, too.
Puppy fee.
Yeah.
BYOP.
Puppies, decaf.
Does he actually always
leave? No, some days it's different. You know, he may stay open longer. It really
depends on the crowd.
Easy way is just to go up and tell him what you had and